Five bells. Stand by all stations.
Attention! All districts, a five-alarm fire. Five bells, move in immediately.
That's it. Let's roll!
Let's go! Firefighters!
Presenting Firefighters, the true-to-life story of our unsung heroes who stand ready to ride by day or night against our most murderous enemy, the Demon of Fire! In just a moment, we'll join Chief Cody and Tim Collins in the office of James Spencer, investment banker, where they've gone to follow up a long-shot hunch of the chief's, a hunch that may help throw light on the mystery of the Sims warehouse fire. As you remember, the destructive blaze started with a sudden, unexplained explosion on the very night that the wealthy exporter Saxon Sims was giving a benefit party for the Firemen's Association. This was coincidence enough, but when Chief Cody discovered another strange coincidence, that Saxon Sims had recently lost a freighter by a mysterious sinking, this was enough to send the chief hurrying to see his banker friend. And what he learns there suddenly throws new light on the bizarre case. We'll pick up the threads of this absorbing fire drama right after we hear this important message. Let's go, firefighters! Let's go to the office of James Spencer, the banker, where Chief Cody and Tim have gone to follow up a hunch of the chief's, a hunch he hopes will throw some light on the mysterious Sims warehouse fire. But it is evident from the expression on Mr. Spencer's face, as he listens to his old friend Chief Cody, that he considers him slightly crazy.
You ask me how much money Saxon Sims has? What a question, Chief. Why, any man in town can tell you he's one of the richest men in the state.
I know he's supposed to be, Jim, but is there any way you can make a quick check to find out for sure?
Why, yes, I can check. But why is there any doubt about it? What?
Well, it's a long story, Jim, but take my word, it's important. I may be way off the beam, but it would help with an investigation I'm making if I knew exactly how Saxon Sims stands financially. Can you find out for me?
Why, sure, Chief, I'll check for you. I'll call some friends downtown. But Saxon Sims, he's as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar.
Minutes later, as the chief and Tim sit tensely across the desk, the banker lets the phone drop from nerveless fingers into its cradle. For a moment, he just sits there, staring across at the two men. And then he speaks.
It's unbelievable. I can't understand.
What is it, Jim?
Well, my friends downtown, they say that Saxon Sims just recently had a series of sudden reverses, bad investments, and...
Yeah?
It's incredible. They say his whole financial empire is on the verge of collapse.
Well, good grief, Chief. That means it's...
Saxon Sims facing financial ruin. That could mean a lot of things, Tim, and maybe explain a lot of things. Jim, thanks a lot for your information.
It's amazing. I had no idea the man was in trouble. Oh, by the way, just what is your interest in Sims' money affairs?
His warehouse was destroyed by fire mysteriously the other night.
And he also lost a ship recently. Mysteriously.
See. And since his empire is crumbling, you think he may be trying to salvage something from insurance.
It wouldn't be the first time a desperate man had used desperate methods to save his fortune.
Yes, sir, but I still can't quite believe... Why, Mr. Spencer, on the very night of the fire, Saxon Sims gave a big benefit party for the Firemen's Association.
Yes, and even donated $4,000 of his own money.
Why would a man go out of his way to make friends with the fire department when at the same time he was planning arson?
For a very good reason, Jim. To cover up. To surround himself with a smoke screen of good deeds so that he would be the last person to be suspected.
But how can you find out for sure, Chief, that Saxon Sims is behind this fire, this sinking?
It's a good question, Chief. Do you have any evidence, any proof that would link the man with these disasters?
No, not yet. But now that I know Saxon Sims had a motive, a reason, we can really go to work. Come on, Tim. We're looking up Lieutenant Branford of the arson squad.
Well, now that he knows Saxon Sims is far from the wealthy man the world believes him to be, Chief Cody is more convinced than ever that he is on the trail of one of the biggest fire crimes of his career. But whether or not he can dig up evidence to prove his theory is another matter. Right now, as he, Tim, and Lieutenant Branford head for the scene of the Sims warehouse fire in the chief's car, arson is the topic of conversation.
Arson is sometimes a hard thing to prove, Chief.
There are a thousand ways to set fire to a building, but this fire we know was started by an explosion. Now, there can't be so many ways to set off a blast.
No, that does narrow it. But it also is going to make it harder to dig up evidence.
How do you mean, Lieutenant?
Well, the violence of an explosion is so great, chances are it would destroy any equipment or device the arsonist used.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Make a thorough search of the wreckage.
Right. And I promise you, if there's any evidence, I'll dig it up.
I know you will, Branford. You're the best man the arson squad's got. Well, here we are. All that's left of the warehouse of Saxon Sims.
What a mess. Must not have been a steel beam in the place.
A real quick burner she was. All right, where do you want to start?
Well, let's see. You say the fire started from an explosion in the laboratory.
Right, sir. And the lab was on the second floor right about, over there. In the southeast corner of the building.
Good. Let's begin there.
An hour later finds the three men still probing the rubble at the spot under which the warehouse laboratory was located. Patiently, they search through the blackened ruins, hoping for some clue, some small piece of evidence that will tell them what touched off the explosion.
Well, looks pretty hopeless, doesn't it, Lieutenant?
Too early to tell yet, Tim.
We've just begun, son. Sometimes the arson squad sift through a fire ruin for a week or more.
That's right. Tim, it's mean, dirty work, but it's the only way. Uh-oh, what's this?
That must be the gas line Sim spoke of. He suggested maybe his lab technician left it turned on, but the technician says the gas hadn't been used for weeks.
Not the way it looks to me. Here's the jet, and the valve is turned on.
Well, let's see. Say, you're right.
Yeah, that means our explosion could have been caused by gas after all.
Yes, but there's still two questions to answer. First, who turned the gas on, and second, what touched it off?
You mean what caused a spark or flame without which there would have been no explosion?
Exactly.
Lieutenant, would you come over here a minute, please?
Find something, Tim?
Yeah, it's something all right, but I don't know exactly what.
That's what's left of a friction flint lighter.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those many times. Your mother has one, Tim. Uses it to light the gas stove.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now I recognize it. The fire's damaged it so badly, I didn't...
Well, nothing so unusual about finding a flint lighter, I suppose. Say, what's this?
Yeah, that's not a part of the lighter.
No.
Yet it was wired to it at one time, see? There's still a few strands of wire hanging.
Oh, what is it?
A solenoid, Tim.
Huh?
A little device that changes electrical energy into mechanical force.
How's that again?
Well, never mind. All it means is that this little device could have operated that flint lighter.
You mean if it were attached to an electric outlet and somebody...
Yeah. Just as I thought. Here's a wire.
Huh?
And it leads from the solenoid down into this rubble. Come on, Tim. Give me a hand.
Yes, sir.
We may be on the track of something yet.
What? What do you think you'll find, Lieutenant?
I've got an idea, but there it is.
Hey, a telephone. Then a wire's attached to the bell box.
And that, gentlemen, is how the gas was touched off.
What do you mean, Lieutenant? I'm afraid I...
Somebody's don't... very clever. You see, he rigged this solenoid to the flint ladder and attached it by the wire to the telephone. Then, by simply dialing this number and letting the phone ring, the solenoid was activated. And it, in turn, sparked the flint ladder, touching off the explosion.
Very clever indeed. And I know the only man who is gadget-minded enough to rig up an outfit like that.
You're right, Chief. Saxon Sims.
Yes, Saxon Sims. He must have first turned on this gas jet and then gone home.
Yes, sir, and after enough gas had collected, all he had to do to touch it off was pick up the phone and dial a laboratory number.
A most ingenious man, Saxon Sims.
Say, Tim.
Yes, sir, Chief.
I know when he did it. When he made the call that set off the explosion. We were right in the library, remember?
Yes. He asked you the correct time, then made a call, but his party didn't answer.
Right. Lieutenant, look at the fire report you have there. What was the exact time the explosion was reported?
Here it is, 10:39.
And it was 10:35 when he asked you the time, Chief, and made the call.
Well, gentlemen, it looks like we've found the evidence we need. The finger of guilt points directly at Mr. Saxon Sims.
We've got the evidence, all right. But I must remind you of something, Chief.
Yeah, what's that?
It's still going to be very tough to link Mr. Saxon Sims with this little gadget here.
Yes, sir, but we know it's his gadget, and that he made the call. It all adds up, Lieutenant.
We think we know, but pinning it on him, mark my word, is going to take a lot of doing.
By thunder, we've got to. If Saxon Sims is the dangerous and clever arsonist we think he is, he's got to be brought to justice. From this point on, it's a case for the police.
But, as Lieutenant Branford says, it's one thing to find evidence that points to the guilt of Saxon Sims, and another to actually prove that it was he who set the fire to his own warehouse and possibly even engineered the sinking of his ship, the Katy Dee. Saxon Sims is a brilliant and clever man. Will he find a way of eluding the grave charge of arson? To learn what success the police and Chief Cody have in bringing Saxon Sims to justice, be sure to be on hand for the next True to Life episode of The Firefighters. In just a moment, Chief Bob Cody will tell you, boys and girls, how you can help the firefighters in your own hometown. But first, here is a message you ought to hear. And now, Chief Bob Cody with a special message for the Firefighters Brigade. Chief Cody.
Hello, boys and girls. You know, as serious as this firefighting business is, there's a chuckle in it now and then. Take, for instance, the story that came to my desk the other day. Seemed some of the boys played a practical joke on one of their pals. He'd fallen asleep in a restaurant, so they gave him a hot foot. You know, stuck a match in the sole of his shoe, then lighted it. It was pretty funny to the boys, but the victim of the joke didn't laugh. Burned his foot pretty badly, and he turned around and sued his pals for $2,500. What's more, he collected. Now, there's a lesson in this story for all of us. Go easy on practical jokes, especially those involving matches and fire. For what might start out to be a harmless hot foot could end up as a case in court. Well, that's all for now. Till we meet next time, so long.
Fire Chief Cody and the young rookie fireman Tim Collins will be back on the same station the next time you hear...
That's it. Let's roll! Let's go! Fire!
Firefighters is a copyrighted feature of William F. Holland Productions.